A little drama this offseason with Deebo Samuel. Could the 49ers really listen to offers for their star wide receiver and MVP of the 2021 season? We will get into all of that with our special day early guest here today on this Tuesday episode of Locked On 49ers.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you once again at BD Peacock at Eric underscore Crocker. Thanks for making us your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I know it's a Tuesday. It's an interesting week. We're going to be one pod short this week because a lot going on with both Proc and I scheduling conflicts. So we're going to do a little winky Wednesday a day early. So let's get into it. Let's talk Deebo Samuel. What would that trade look like? What could the 49ers do with those picks? Could it really happen? And bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Action News 8 Sports with Nick Winkler.
Wow.
What's up, Wink? It's never a dull day, even in the offseason for the NFL and especially those San Francisco 49ers. The topic du jour right now, I mean, Jimmy G is old news. That Jimmy G trade. What about a Deebo Samuel trade? That is the hype right now going on with every 49ers fan. And each day that passes, you think, no. Could it be? Could it be real? Croc might be converted to thinking there is that possibility. We will get into all of that, what it could look like, what an offer could be, what the 49ers could do with picks, if it even makes sense at all. And as they say, I got to go back to my younger days as a child watching WWF wrestling and the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. Do you know what he said, Wink? Everybody has a price. Do you think that is true? Do you think the 49ers have a price with Deebo Samuel if teams come calling with enough?
100%. Everybody does have a price. See, you're talking about Million Dollar Man. He's stuffing that $100 bill in their mouth after he puts him to sleep. I grew up with some WWF, man. I know what you're talking about. And it's funny, as a fan, you kind of got sick of all the Jimmy G talk, right? It was like everywhere. It's like, let's talk about anything else. And it's like, oh, wait, trade Deebo. Oh, wait, I don't know. Let's go back to the Jimmy G stuff. I don't like this idea.
You know, you think of something like that and people are going to come on here and they're like, man, they're talking about Deebo being traded just in the first 2 minutes of the pod. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people want to dismiss it. And originally I wanted to as well. But the 49ers have shown that, hey, if they really want to move a guy, or not even if they want to, but if they feel like the value is right, like they will. DeForest Buckner was everything that you wanted in a top 10 pick. When you spend a top 10 pick on someone and you're like, you know what? What is an ideal top 10 pick? Like, how does that play out? It's like, well, it's a guy, one, that plays at an elite level at his position. A guy that is a tremendous leader in the locker room, in the community. A guy that gives you no issues on or off of the field. He was everything that you wanted. And they still traded him. And they gave him zero issues.
Guy who played all the time. Yeah, no, you're completely
right. Never missed time.
Right.
Never missed time. I mean, what, he missed one game maybe the whole time? Two games?
He was an Ironman. He played every snap during those games, too. There was nobody more dependable than DeForest Buckner.
So if Buckner, if there was a price for him where it's just, all right, then there 100% is one for Deebo Samuel. Yeah,
and so when you look back at that, though, a lot of fans would say, what were you doing? And especially in hindsight now, you just went one for one, and you got a worse defensive tackle for it. So if the 49ers trade, say, for a first-round pick for somebody and just draft a wide receiver, that could be a huge loss for the 49ers. I think most 49ers fans would say, that's insanity. We can't do that again. Pay Deebo whatever he asks.
But you can't.
Well, I thought that's where they messed up to begin with DeForest Buckner. I didn't think that they should go that route. Well, it was like you gave him money, and it's like, well, move him to 3-tech, which he played very well at last year, right? Yeah. I mean, he was good at it. It was like, put him at 3-tech, and I don't know, go get a guy named CeeDee Lamb, I like who we drafted, Brandon Ayuk, but go get CeeDee Lamb, go get, you know, you got AJ, like you have these other guys, Tristan Wirfs, you know, if they would have drafted him, where it's like, all right, you're not putting the pressure on Javon Kinlaw to come in and have to be DeForest Buckner right now. Slide Armstead over there, we know he can be good, put in that role, whatever, he'll be solid. You have D4. you know, I put air quotes if you're not watching on YouTube, because obviously he didn't play, but just in the sense of at that time, it's like, well, you got D Ford, you got these other guys, like you're good. Now, don't make it to where this guy has to be DeForest Buckner. And if the 49ers were to move from Deebo Samuel, don't make it to where that guy has to come in and be Deebo. Go get, you know, depending on where it's at, but let's say it's a top 10 pick, a Trevor Penning, you know, a guy who could play right guard. 49ers don't have one, but if McGlinchey is out, he could play right tackle. Or if there's no McGlinchey from the jump, like Trevor Penning is a tackle, he can go there. I think there's more value there as opposed to trying to draft someone to just be like, all right, now you're going to be the new version of Deebo Samuel.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I know, Croc, that you've already done a exercise on a different program trying to figure out what that value would be. It's, you know, you play the game. It's like, okay, let's play this out. What would be that price? If everyone truly does have a price, and actually, and we'll get to what that price could be, what an offer could be. I've actually put it in the Locked On DMs. I said, okay, let's role play here. Let's say, and we're doing a mock draft right now for the network wide, by the way. You're going to have to tune in to find out who the 49ers pick with their first pick in the draft, which is currently at pick 61. And I asked the folks on the network, okay, let's say your team's looking at Deebo Samuel. What would be that offer? What would be the max offer that you think your team would bid? So I'm gonna read those DMs, and we'll see what kind of offers come up there. Croc has done this as well with some Jets folks, and which is one of the rumored teams that have apparently called, and they've called about multiple wide receivers, including Deebo Samuel. And obviously there's some, you know, some closeness there with those coaching staffs in Deebo. So, you know, they love them some Deebo over there in New York. I want to go to a question, though, really quick, and I've seen a lot of this, and I think Kyle Shanahan's being misquoted a little bit, because people are taking, you know, pieces of articles and other ideas, and they're placing a quote on Shanahan that he didn't really say specifically about Deebo Samuel. And I want to go to Shantanu on Twitter, at Deep Foreboding. He says, just a quick personnel philosophy question. What do you think about Shanahan's comments about Deebo and moving him? Is that all smoke? I'm a bit shocked. And to my knowledge, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I haven't seen a quote from Shanahan about moving Deebo. There was a quote from like a year ago where basically he says, yeah, we're going to listen to offers. And I think this might've been happening during the draft or something like that. He's like, yeah, like you could trade everybody. You could trade me, I think he said, right? Speaking of himself, Kyle Shanahan. He also said this:
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday.
Right? So, like, you can't take that as face value and say, oh, Kyle Shanahan thinks Debo's not going to be alive tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, you're making a leap. Of course, everybody would at some point have a price, right? If somebody comes and says, we want, let's say, I don't know, the Kansas City Chiefs come and say, hey, we want Deebo and we'll give you Patrick Mahomes. You're going to be like, oh, okay, well, we'll talk. They're not going to do that, obviously, but there are trades that would make sense even for the biggest Deebo Samuel fan, right? So we'll see if we could get to that point. And sure, you listen to offers on guys, maybe it ends up making sense. I think the DeForest Buckner trade was a clear loss for the 49ers. They can't do that again with Deebo Samuel, so this has to be a clear win. If they even were to dip their toes in, that would be have to be a massive haul. Can a team even pay that much is my question.
Is there really a clear win when you're trading away a player of right. that caliber? Like, what does a clear win look like? Maybe if you look at the Minnesota Vikings and there's like, okay, we traded Stephon Diggs to the Buffalo Bills. Oh, we drafted Justin Jefferson in that spot. Oh, what do you know? He has 3,000 yards in 2 years, the most over a 2 year span in the NFL history. I guess from that standpoint, but I feel like that's kind of, that's not the expectations. That's kind
of the outlier.
Yeah. And so that was a win for both teams because they had a young quarterback in Buffalo. They needed a veteran player. They couldn't gamble on a rookie. And it was a gamble that the Vikings would even end up with a player as good as Diggs. And they did. They ended up with a player probably better than Diggs and younger. And you start that clock over. So if the 49ers say get a first round pick for Deebo Samuel and it's only one pick and they draft a wide receiver, it better not be this Javon Kinlaw, you know, hurt all the time. What is this guy going into year three? We don't even know situation. It better be a home run. And then that would be worth it. But you can never know that. And it would be definitely a different style and a different, you know, and maybe the 49ers are looking at the offense now without Jimmy Garoppolo and with Trey Lance thinking, well, we're going to run a different style of offense. We don't need a wide back as much as we used to.
And also, we're having these conversations about a potential trade and all those things. But it won't be because the 49ers want to do this.
Right.
If there's any like realistic chance of Deebo Samuel being moved, it will be because Deebo is not getting what he feels like he's worth.
Yeah, that or they're just going to have their socks blown off, right? They're going to be like, here's two first round picks and a second. Give us Deebo. And it's like, oh, we might have to pull the trigger on this. I mean, as a 49er fan, you love the 49ers, right? And you love the players on the 49ers, but the players come and go, right? So you keep loving the team. So you hope that if you do end up trading one of your best players, well, you know, one of the most electric people in the NFL, that you get back so much that you're like, okay, I can swallow this. I can handle this right now. Otherwise, it's like, oh, gosh, you're breaking my heart here, team. And you don't want them to do that again because they just did it a couple years ago with Buckner.
All right, we're going to play the game. Let's say the 49ers are listening to offers and there is a price. Could a team meet that price? Kroc has done this exercise with some Jets folks. I'm getting, and my DMs are actually blowing up right now because they're currently talking about this, and I've got some offers from some Locked On hosts for Deebo Samuel if he was to become available. There is interest here, and there could be a bidding war in a situation like this, especially if Seattle's saying no about DK, and the Titans are saying no about A.J. Brown, and Washington's saying no about Terry McLaurin, and the Jets already struck out with Tyreek Hill, right? So, and we've seen what some of these other wide receivers went for, and they got a lot in return for these guys. So let's play that roll next. But first, I want to talk about Shady Rays. Looking for some shades this summer? Shady Rays is an independent sunglass company that gives you the features of $200 sunglasses for a fraction of the price. That means polarized lenses, well-constructed, durable frames, premium, high-end finishes, but you don't have to pay the high-end price. And the best part, and you don't see this anywhere, is Shady Rays' insane protection program. Shady Rays includes not only broken but lost sunglass protection on every single pair. They also send you a brand new pair if you lose them, no matter what happened. So give them a try, and if you don't love them, you'll pay nothing. It's as simple as that. Plus, 10 meals are donated to fight hunger in America when you shop with Shady Rays exclusively. For our listeners, you can head over to ShadyRays.com. Use our promo code, get a little bit of a discount as well. That is code Locked On to get 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That is code Locked On for their best deal of the season. 50% off two or more pairs of Shady Rays sunglasses backed by over 150,000 verified five-star reviews. Shady Rays. All right, big announcement, guys. Starting Thursday, April 28th. Tune in to Locked On NFL Drafts. Live coverage of the 2022 NFL Draft with all 3 days of real-time analysis from our extensive lineup of experts and insiders. And for those of you dying to know who your team will take, catch Odyssey and Locked On NFL Mock Draft Special hosted by yours truly, Brian Peacock, and former scout Matt Williamson of the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show and of Locked On 49ers. All week leading up to the first pick, you're going to have to tune in to late in that one to find out who the Niners pick at 61. A lot of teams picking, and a lot of teams picking a couple times before the 49ers. So Locked On NFL Draft Live coming up. We're going to do the mock draft starting April 18th, and then we've got live draft coverage as well right here on the network. And by the way, thanks for making Locked On 49ers your first listen every day. Draft season, it's a whole lot of fun, gentlemen. Could the 49ers add some more draft picks? Jimmy G still out there. That's very deep on the back burner, you know, when it comes to this podcast especially. Let's talk Deebo Samuel. Kroc, run us through the conversation you had on your show talking with the Jets guy and maybe a little bit of back and forth about what an offer could be. And I'll read some of these other offers from some other teams here on the Locked On Network, and we'll see if we can come up with a little bit of something. Is Kroc not hearing us? All right, I'm going to start with the Locked On offers then before he gets to the Jets offer that he came up with here. You guys let me know what you think of some of these. First of all, like right away, instantaneous when I put the question out there, Ross Jackson does a lot for the network behind the scenes. Those sneaky New Orleans Saints, he covers the Saints for Locked On Saints. Mm-hmm. They've got those two first round picks. He comes with a second and a fifth. I said, no, you get that right out of here.
I said, finger rag too.
I went Mutombo on that.
Mm-hmm. Big swap. Get it out. I agree. Yeah,
this is what I did.
Yeah. Here we go. If you're not watching on YouTube right now, you are missing out. Peacock has stood up, taken off his...
I got the Mutombo bobblehead. This is what I said to Ross Jackson with the second to fifth. I said, get that out of my house.
What an awesome bobble finger you've got there.
The bottle, the one and only bobble finger.
All my bobble heads are supposed to be behind me.
I never quite finished out my studio the way it was supposed to be, but I'm going to be moving, so I'm going to have a new studio pretty soon.
Did he really think a second and a fifth would get that done?
No, he's a low baller because he covers the sneaky.
That's very low.
He's up to no good, and he's thinking those two first-round picks aren't for sale. I'd be asking for both. Not even just one of those picks at 16 and 19. And Gino Camilleri of Locked On Eagles came stronger. He said he thinks that Philly would definitely give up pick number 18 in the first round for Deebo Samuel. So we're talking about a mid-first round pick right now, which means you could probably get a second pick, whether, a future pick to go along with it, something like that. Because, look, we saw with the DeForest Buckner trade, you need multiple swings. If you trade away a star player, you need multiple high-end swings to get another star player because you might not hit on that one and only shot, right? So I'm talking about a high pick, and I'm talking about multiple picks if I'm the 49ers at the very minimum. Let's go to talking about sneaky. Let's go to Locked On Packers host Peter Bukowski, who I know some of the listeners here love to hate. Right, hate to love. I'm not sure which way that goes. Sometimes
hate. I think that's the one. Yeah,
I don't even know if you can even throw love in there. It's just hate. Hate.
Just hate.
He says 28, so first round pick, and number 92, which is a third round pick. It's one pick in front of the 49ers at pick 92. Niners have number 93, so which means if they're willing to go 28, but they're willing to go 22. So I think we could talk that up to pick 22. And I'm not even responding to any of these. These are just real time coming in right now with some of the hosts. I know Wig from Locked On Jaguars was interested, and he hit me up during the Locked On mock draft about Deebo. And I said, no, Debo's not available, but they have the first pick in the first round. They're probably not going to be offering that one, and they don't pick again until 33. So it would have to be something like 33 in a next year one. Would that be enough to get it done? I don't know. I'm waiting for Wig's response, but that's what we're looking at right now. Clearly, you get a first-round pick plus for Deebo Samuel. Is that enough, Croc? And what did the Jets guys think about what the New York Jets would potentially, and they have the most draft capital that could be the team that you could get the most from?
Yeah, so obviously the 49ers, the New York Jets, I guess the 49ers East, right, where Robert Saleh and those guys, they have pick 4th overall. They have the 10th overall pick. They also have pick 35, 38, and 69. So, when talking to them, and I had two guys kind of come on my show and kind of debate it, one guy from the 49ers and another guy from the New York Jets, kind of, so you have both sides here. And I let them play GM and work through negotiations. And what the Jets guy said is they would be willing to offer what they did for Tyreek Hill. And I know 49er fans push back on, oh, Deebo Samuel is so much better than Tyreek Hill. It's like, well, Tyreek Hill has been in the league 6 years, been in the Pro Bowl every single year. He's been all pro, first team all pro, 3 of those years. This is somebody who is tremendous. He almost by himself, and I mean, his quarterback has something to do it, but I think the fear of him crossing your face beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl on that wasp play where he acted like he was going across the field and turned the safety all the way around and went back the other way. That kind of broke the 49ers back a little bit. All right, that type of guy. They offered the New York Jets for Tyreek Hill. It was pick 35, 38. And 69. Now, when you look at what Peter Bukowski offered, pick 28 and 92, I know it sounds better because, first round pick. But I'd rather pick 7 picks later and then have another one 3 picks later. And then, by the way, I have my original 61st overall pick as opposed to just trying to get in the first round just because it's the first round. So I like the thoughts of, okay, pick 4 is off limits, pick 10 is off limits. Got it. But 35, 38, and 69, you talked about having multiple swings. I think there's going to be some really good players in that range. And we see what second-round receivers, if you do want to kind of put those resources towards that, what second-round receivers? Deebo Samuel. Where was he picked?
Yeah.
It was about, 34, 35?
35. 36. Yeah.
36. A.J. Brown taken shortly after that. D.K. Metcalf taken way further than that. Matter of fact, it was like pick 61. Terry McLaurin taking third round, all those guys that are looking to re-up. I mean, those are third round guys. So it's not the sexiest of things in the sense of what it looks like on paper, But that's a lot of talent. And then now imagine having ultimately three swings at it, really four, right, in the, you know, between 35 and 69. You got four swings at getting some really good guys that can contribute.
Yeah, to go off what you're saying too, you know, 49er fans, I get it. Deebo Samuel was exciting. He was electric. He was a game changer this last year. But let's not forget his first 2 years on the 49ers, right? He played 16 games total in those 2 years. He played 11 games as a rookie, got 800 yards. Yeah, you saw, like, okay, he had 80 catches.
Oh,
like,
hold on. I think your math is a little off. He played, 49ers played 19 games his rookie year, including the playoffs. He played 18 of them.
But we're talking about regular season. He played in 11, right? Or he started 11. Nah, is that what it was?
Yeah, he maybe started 11 because he kind of
he only played five his second year, right? I mean, we're talking about a guy who missed a lot of time.
He has missed some time.
So you got to think, like, are you selling high on a guy like Deebo Samuel? Like, is this the time right now? Or do you risk, you know, maybe he is that injury prone guy. Maybe he goes right back into that. Maybe that's when you're supposed to sell, is when a guy is at his highest. Can he get higher than he is right now? Can he be worth more? I don't know. I don't think so.
It'd be tough for him to have a lot of years better than what he did last year when you look at his total output from scrimmage. Yeah, I mean, it was a ridiculous year. 77 catches, 1,400 receiving yards, another 365 rushing yards with 8 touchdowns on the ground. So 11 starts. He played in 15 games, regular season, his rookie year.
Okay.
He played in parts of 7 games, 5 starts his second year.
In one of those games, he got hurt on the very first play of the game.
Right.
It was like first play, they gave him the ball. He went around a corner, and then we didn't see him for the rest of the game.
It was like, oh, he's back, and he's gone again.
And then
matter of fact, I don't know if we saw him for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think that was it. They shut him down.
Missed one game last year. 15 starts. Yeah, 15 starts. He appeared in both games, though.
I don't want to get rid of Deebo Samuel, not at all. But, you know, from a business standpoint, you got to think, like, if somebody's going to come at us with something, like you said, three big swings at a future star, you're definitely going to listen to it, right?
Everybody has a price. Everybody has a price, do they? And this isn't to tear down Deebo at all. Deebo's a special player, and I love what he brings to the team. If you were to consider it, it would have to be substantial. So we'll get into that next. Do any of those trades make sense? What could the 49ers do? And if you play that game, then maybe you can try to decipher if it would make sense once you play that whole thing out. So we'll get to that next. What deal do you take and what do you do with those picks coming up after I let the folks out there know about Built Bars, which are the best tasting protein bars on the market. They are a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They're doing amazing things with flavors over at built.com. Brownie batter puffs. I mean, just unbelievable what they're able to do, yet keep their bars great tasting, covered in 100% real chocolate, low in calorie, low in sugar, and high in protein. They even got the puffs, first ever protein infused marshmallow. You kidding me? And again, covered in 100% real chocolate. It's a treat. You don't have this low sugar snack and then feel bad about it. You feel great about it because you know it was low in calories and high in protein, and it tastes great. So get rid of all those snacks that are terrible for you and replace them with Built Bars, mint brownie, white chocolate, cookies and cream, tons of classic flavors. My favorite is the peanut butter. You can do the puffs route if you're a marshmallow eater. They've got some little chicks-like little yellow treats coming for the Easter holiday as well. So you can get your treats without all of that sugar. The peeps. What did I call them? The chirps? The peeps? The chirps of puffs is what they're called at built.com. So get over there to built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Again, that is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. So, Croc, let's bring up and sorry, Wink, I'm going to cover your face here because we're going to bring the draft chart. This is the old Jimmy Johnson draft chain chart. Let's see what some of those picks are worth and break down what that Jets offer would be. I have a feeling that might be the top offer because the Green Bay pick 28, and I think you could talk them into 22. Let's say Green Bay went with their best offer, pick 22, which is worth 780 points on the old trade chart. And you can see the 49ers current picks are all highlighted here. The Green Bay pick worth 780 points in the first round, number 22. And then they're offering 92, which is a third round selection, which is worth 132 points, right? So less than 1,000 total points. if you're talking about pick 10 from the New York Jets, which is for sure.
Real quick, that's 912 points.
912 points. I would be asking for sure for the New York Jets pick 10 if they were offering it. That's worth 1,300. And I'd probably ask for a second selection, whether it was this year, next year, something like that. But when you add together that Jets offer, right, Croc, of no first round picks, but they've got pick 35, which is the third pick in the second round. They've got pick 38, which is the sixth pick in the second round. Those together are worth over 1,000 points. That's already more valuable, as you talked about earlier, Croc, than the Green Bay pick, even though one of those is in the first round. And what was the other selection? 69. So that is the fifth pick in round three, worth 245 points. So again, we're getting pretty close to that 1,300. So chart value wise, it's right about where the Jets' number 10 pick would be. Now, the downfall there is, while chart value is pretty close to the same and you can get multiple players there, what you could do from pick 10 is then move down and maybe stay in the first round, maybe get some other picks, you know, and would it be the same value? I don't know. But that's interesting. 35, 38, and 69. GM Crocky, are you taking that for Deebo Samuel? If that ends up being the best offer? Hold on, let's look real quick. What was 18? So Philly at pick 18 is 900. About 900 points of value. If you tried to squeeze another pick out of them, it would have to be their second rounder at 51. And that would put you pretty close, 1,300 or so points, if you could get their second. You prefer the 2 seconds, or would you rather do 18 and 51 from Philly?
Ooh, 18 and 50. I'd take 18 and 51.
I like 18 and 51 as well. Because what you could do with Philly, because they have 15. You say, no, I need 15. And they say, no, okay, how about 18 and 51? You know, so they start 18. You say, no, I want 15. They say, okay, how about 18, 51? Then they can keep their first 15. They can move down from there and add a second from somebody else maybe. 18
and 15. They also have draft capital next season as well. So I think the Eagles have like a second next year. They got another first. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have 2 first-round picks next. Like they have multiple. So like, okay, we give this up, but we get Deebo Samuel in return. And all, like they're sitting pretty. They'll be sitting pretty even with that trade.
How about this? How about a team calls? And they say, okay, we want Deebo Samuel. Here is our offer. And the 49ers come back with, okay, if you want Deebo Samuel, you also got to take Jimmy Garoppolo. So let's work something out.
And you got to pay his price too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like that's the only way you're taking Deebo is if you also take this huge contract off our hands. Yeah. Let's go.
And it's not like you're just taking him, because we can get the contract off the books for free. You have to pay us a price for Jimmy also. So we're getting that, you know, future day two pick, and we're getting the full value for Deebo as well. That's interesting too.
But yeah, if someone called and I had those two offers, the only way I move on from Deebo is if we are so far apart and it just does not look like we can make it work. And now what does far apart look like? If the 49ers have offered 52 guaranteed, 52 million guaranteed, and I don't know, DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, and AJ Brown got 68, and I don't feel comfortable giving that to Deebo Samuel, and he's just disgruntled, that would be something worth, okay, I'll move you.
This is what's difficult too, is you won't really know how hard of ball Deebo is playing until probably the summer after the draft, and he's like holding out and he's being a problem and you're not able to progress in negotiations, then the draft's over and these you can't utilize these picks and these types of trades anymore. But this
right now though, how far apart you are, which clearly, I mean, if he's scrubbing his Instagram page and removing 49ers related stuff and having his homeboy put something out there, if it ain't $25 million, we don't want it. Clearly they are not close. So how, when you talk about hardball and you have the 49ers, it could be a scenario like what they did with Buckner, where it was just like, damn, we're not close. Remember, Buckner was like, dude, they didn't even try to meet me in the middle.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They moved off Buckner pretty quick because they told the agent, okay, if you can find this deal, bring us back a one. And he did. And they kind of called his bluff. And Lynch was like, shoot, okay, they did it. I guess we got to take this trade. And on paper, it probably looked like a great deal. So this is what I would do in those negotiations, right? So if you got that out of Philly, now you call the Jets back and say, hey, we got a one and a two. So the only way you're beating that deal now is we need 10 and 38.
Would you guys do that?
You want Deebo? 10 and 38. Let's go.
Would you do it for 10 and 38?
And we'll like, and we'll give you like some sixth rounders or whatever, you know, because you always see those sixth and sevens thrown in. It's like, look, if you're worried about losing total number of draft picks, we have a lot of picks. So you can have one of those late rounders too, you know, just whatever. But that would be like, let's go 10-38. You have to think hard about that. 10-38 is value for Debo. The question is, how much do you value Debo? And do you think you can replace him with one of those picks? And do you try to replace him with one of those picks? And what do you do with the other pick?
You don't try to replace him with like,
right.
That. I don't think that's the message you sent. And that's what the message they sent with Kinlaw. Don't do that. Go a different right. direction. I would, again, in this scenario, the world that we are bringing up right now, and disgruntled, not close, too much money. You know, the injury stuff is kind of brought up. Can he do it again? All those things. And you're like, you know what? Forget this headache. Let's move him. Pick 10-38 would do it for me. And that would probably turn into Trevor Penning and Christian Watson. And I'd still have pick 61.
And you could say, and how about this? This is how you replace. And we've seen where the Niners screwed up with the DeForest Buckner trade that was trying to do a one for one. Replace up a position on the roster, and you're going to get a different, there's nobody like Debo. You're going to get a different style of player. But remember we talked last episode about how I believe Sky Moore is a very Shanahan guy, and you're not going to try to replace him. But how about this? Pick 10 best player available, edge rusher, you know, whoever it is that you love there, maybe even get a trade and you trade back. And now you're adding picks to next year. Cause again, the 49ers don't have a first rounder next year either. So you could do a lot of maneuvering at 10, but you're trying to draft best player available. Maybe you get a stud edge rusher there in the first round, maybe a stud offensive tackle,
Jermaine Johnson,
play some guard and kick out to tackle eventually. If you're going to move on from Mike McGlinchey, you know, you could do a lot of good with that 10th pick. That's not even a wide receiver, or maybe the best wide receiver in the class is there that you love, Garrett Wilson, whatever, whoever you think that is. Or I like where your head's at, Croc. Pick 38 comes up, Christian Watson, Sky Moore,
George Pickens, maybe.
George Pickens, another good one, right? So one of those players is there. And then how about this? What the 49ers did not do in 2019 when they drafted Debo is they didn't go trade up and get DK Metcalf when he slid. What if they draft George Pickens at 38, Sky Moore falls down to the 50s. You move up from 61, you go wide receiver. You don't try to go one for one. You take two swings at replacing a star receiver with two guys that could both become stars. If one busts, one becomes a star, you're still in good shape. What about Pickens and Sky Moore in round two now? You go best player available at pick 10 or wherever that is in the middle of the first round, and now you're really making your roster potentially better.
And there are some people that have Sky Moore, like wide receiver two. Now, I don't have him that high, but there are people that love him. And you talk about somebody, again, he's wearing number 24, kind of has a little golden tape to him. And I think people, when Debo was coming out, there was a little bit of that. Oh, kind of golden tape to him as well. I think Sky Moore, he showed that he has 4.3 speed. He's able to win vertically, play in the slot, outside. They would do things just to get the ball in his hands, run after catch. He has all those things. And I would say, when you drafted Debo Samuel, and he was my wide receiver two in that class, and it was 2A, 2B, him and A.J. Brown, right? Obviously, you feel like, oh, they're going to be really good players. You never think that you're getting what you got from Debo. And I think if you were to say, all right, Sky Moore, we want you in. Or if they're just good receivers, to go with Brandon Ayuk, and, oh, by the way, I have George Kittle, like you're in good shape. I don't think you – and again, this is – not what we want, trading right. Debo Samuel. And, I mean, 1,800 yards down there and team
MVP. Here comes all the hate. All that.
Yeah.
They want to get rid of Debo.
Right. But in a scenario where they do, I like that kind of scenario where I'm getting different guys. I would go Sky Moore, Christian Watson. Like, that's what I would do. Now, all my guys are different. I got Ayuk, I got Sky Moore, I got Christian Watson. They all bring something different to go with young Trey Lance.
You could kind of start to talk me into it. Wink, what do you think? Where was your mind at the beginning of this podcast? What do you think now? Any of those deals start to make sense? Is there a line where you're like, okay, I would do maybe a couple of these deals, but definitely not them? Or yeah, where are you at with these?
I'd probably pay Debo Samuel. Like I really, I just, you know, I brought up the injury stuff just to play devil's advocate. You know, I mean, this guy, if you watched football last year, you see what Debo Samuel can do when he plays. And there's nobody like him in the NFL. So if you're trading him, and I get it, you know, you're going to have to pay Nick Bosa too. Like, the 49ers got to figure a way to get all these guys, and you can't keep everyone. It's unfortunate. You just can't do it. So if somebody comes and they give you a bunch of draft picks and they're like, you can try again, you know, and restart the clock on a young wide receiver or two, you might have to do it. But me personally, I want Deebo Samuel as 49er.
Yep. I think option A by far is still pay Deebo. Yes. But if you have to start thinking about not paying Deebo, if it doesn't look like it's going to go that route, and you can milk some teams out of something, you have to be able to get two potential impact wide receivers out of the trade, you know, in including maybe one of your own picks that you're maneuvering around to use to do that as well, and another stud player in another position, offensive tackle, pass rusher, high impact position, then it might start making sense. But the 49ers cannot go one for one and just take one swing at a wide receiver, because it might turn out to be Justin Jefferson. It might turn out to be more like a Kinlaw situation that we've seen. And you can't be flipping a coin on trading away a star receiver.
Right.
All right. I'm glad we got that hashed out. Fun stuff. Thanks everybody for making us your first listen on this early Winky Wednesday episode. If you haven't checked into our YouTube channel, go check it out. If you're just in your car on your way to work, on your way home, we appreciate you as well. Thanks for checking in. Make sure you subscribe and hit the star buttons and tell your friends about Locked On 49ers. Tons of draft coverage to come as well here on the network. Croc and I back Thursday right here. Locked On 49ers.
Hey, yo.